Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom LeYehudim, Shalom LeBnei Noach, Shalom LeGoyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet audio program named for the book of the same name that dismantles the dishonest claptrap of today's fashionable way of bashing the Jews called Palestinian nationalism, the movement for the national liberation of a people that never existed, let alone is in need of emancipation. In this week's episode, we explain what to many may seem bizarre on my part, my enjoyment of so-called anti-Semitism, because inadvertently anti-Jews always expose their worst characters in the process of acting out their hostility. For example, the classic Adolf Hitler accused the Jews of planning on conquering the whole world and enslaving mankind, when clearly he was the one with that fantasy. And so many people today see the Jews accused of denying statehood to the ancient Palestinians when it is Islam and other Jew haters who deny statehood to Jews. I explain why most normal Israelis and pro-Israelis are angry that the UN is constantly engaged in Israel bashing when I see it as the UN's inadvertent resistance to the existence of the Jews that so upsets them. The nations united, it's fair today, judging by their behavior, the man hours and all the departments and agencies that they spend on attacking Israel, is evidence of the power of Jewishness that enslaves the minds of our haters. Consider the billions of dollars spent in the heyday of the PLO terror cells and today's numerous Muslim terror cells in Gaza. There's Hamas and Islamic Jihad and Al-Qaeda, Jabhat al-Nusra, all of them dedicated to destroying Israel. Israel's death is what they live for. Hezbollah in Lebanon, too. Those Hezbollahi wake up every day and think of what they can do to harm Israel. They are slaves of their hatred and thus unintentionally stand in awe of the Jews, whose existence and excellence drives them mad with envy. At some level of cognition, they know that prior to the Zionist movement, Muslims here did absolutely nothing for this country. It was a barren wasteland, as reported by visitors in the 19th century. There was no man-made irrigation, no roads, no railroad, decades after its invention in the West. So today I would consider anti-Jewitis, this mental disorder, from another angle. And we can get started after the following announcement from Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom LeYehudim, Shalom LeBnei Noach, Shalom LeGoyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet audio program named for the book of the same name that shatters the major dishonest anti-Jew lie of this generation's successor to anti-Semitism, which was the religionless successor to the deicide charge. Today's style of Jew hatred hates Jews for stealing Palestine from its rightful ancient indigenous people, and never mind that they do not speak the indigenous language of Palestine, which is Hebrew. Their mamelotion, their mother tongue, is indigenous to the Arabian Peninsula, what the Romans called Arabia Felix, which is hundreds of kilometers distant from the land of Canaan that God wanted the seed of Abraham and Sarah to occupy and dispossess, as the French say, les indigènes, the antediluvian Canaanites, of the seed of Ham, not the seed of Shem. It's the second day, Dallas Bechodesh Adar Bes, Parashas Vayikra, Tavshin Ayin Tes, 5779, the first day, Monday, 11 March 2019, podcasting from Israel under attack on four fronts. Call me eccentric, call me a weirdo, but I kind of like all the hostility, the attention, which proves to my mind the truth of Jewishness, which is a better translation of the Hebrew word Yahadus than Judaism, because isms are man-made ideologies and Jewishness comes from the words of God dictated to Moses, who wrote them down. From the Jewish people came not only their own amazing immortal history, but the civilizations of Christendom and Islam. Setting aside for a moment those two mammoth countries of India and China with their billions, most of the rest of the world is either nominally Christian or Muslim. The prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah, who lived 700 years before the birth of Christianity, said, Ki mitzion teitze Torah, udvar Hashem miYerushalayim, from Zion shall go forth the teaching, the Torah, and the word of God from Jerusalem. And history proves he was a prophet, for that is exactly what happened. Here was this one Jew, Isaiah, in this little country that long ago, who was absolutely confident that the religion of his people would spread out across the entire world, and boy, did it ever. Christendom justified its empire building as the search for gold, glory, and the gospel, and for sure they did spread the gospel of Christianity all over the planet, and inadvertently, virtually unaware of what they were doing, they also spread the words of Isaiah. That Christian Bible that they gave to the world, don't forget, is two-thirds Jewish. So I kind of like anti-Semitism for its obsession with Jews. Take, for example, the resurgent practice among the Goyim of desecrating Jewish cemeteries, spray painting swastikas on headstones, smashing headstones with the sledgehammers and or toppling them. That's no easy task. And I see in this behavior people enslaved to their hatred of Jews that drives them, compels them to go out on a Saturday night, maybe spend money on the gasoline as they drive to the cemetery with the spray paint that they also paid for, to spend hours vandalizing, after all, what are inert rocks. Classically, prisoners could be sent to a quarry to break rocks all day, and here are these men doing just that, likely swigging beer as they work up a sweat and get dirty, and for what? Saturday night, you know, go out with your girlfriend, go to a movie, read a book, watch television. Smashing rocks, and or if you are good enough with your old pickup truck to have a winch and chains, you can pull the headstones of the dead Jews down. In our history as well, there were many occurrences of not only vandalizing Jewish graveyards, but digging up the skeletons in order to crush the bones. And I see the power of Jewishness in this, how it can drive men to waste all these hours and money doing such things. In a very real way, they are slaves of the Jews, whose very existence fries their brains and drives them to this ultimately symbolic activity. I mean, what other religion evokes such hatred, such a powerful hatred, that it seizes the mind and compels the hater to engage in this pointless and useless activity? In this way, I'm unlike many Israelis who are angry and bitter at the treatment that Israel receives in the Assembly of Nations in New York and Geneva, when I often enjoy it, when one contemplates the fact that Israel is the only member state among 193 that cannot sit on the Security Council. Post-religious Israelis are unhappy, but I smile at the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Gentile prophet Bilam, who said this is a people that will dwell alone and not be counted among the nations. This is the way it's supposed to be. Anti-Jews sneer at us Jews for claiming to be the chosen people, and at the very same time, they are the vehicles for proving that claim. For they're the ones who in every generation choose the Jewish people for special treatment. And so these days Israel is under attack on four fronts. Last week, on the eastern side of the holy city of Jerusalem, the Ishmaelites penetrated a gate closed to them since 2003 to set up another mosque on our Temple Mount. I think it's the third mosque on the mount now. The first, of course, was Al-Aqsa, put up in the 7th century. But then during the rule, about 20 years ago, of the atheist Ehud Barak, he let the Muslims steal thousands of tons of earth from our Temple Mount, carting it off in caravans of dump trucks, as Ehud Barak did nothing. And he allowed them to build an underground mosque in the area, if I'm not mistaken, thought to have been the stables of our King Solomon, whom they claim was a Muslim, and his real name was Suleiman. You see, Israel's post-religious Ashkenazic leftists like Ehud Barak were raised to ridicule religion, so he was not going to risk violence over the Temple Mount. As his spiritual forebear and classic Sabra icon Moshe Dayan said after the Six-Day War, when he gave the Temple Mount back to the Muslims, he said, quote, "The Temple Mount has no religious significance for Israelis. Only historic significance," close quote. I also remember when the Ishmaelites, this violent seed of Ham, in Shechem, overran and vandalized the tomb of Joseph the righteous, who was righteous in his day for his sexual behavior, for which he paid dearly with years in an Egyptian dungeon. And at the helm of the military and political ship of state at Israel at the time of the attack on the tomb of Joseph were Ehud Barak, Benny Gantz, Shaul Mofaz, and other IDF officers who chose not to fight for the tomb, and not only that, not to rescue an IDF soldier wounded by the Muslim barbarians, whom they let bleed to death. I remember a leftist Tel Aviv yuppie friend at the time sneering at the even thought of fighting over the tomb. Please, we're enlightened people. You don't fight over religious things. So this week, this latest aggression at the Temple Mount is sort of like a repetition compulsion for these Arabs. Not enough to steal our mount in the 7th century, as they did, but they seem to want to conquer it again and again. Hence the forcible crashing of the Gate of Mercy last week, replaying the first two aggressions really against our Temple Mount. And that aggression has become the latest crisis over Jerusalem, thanks to the larcenous Arabs who claim it really belongs to them, because Al-Yahud, the Jews, lost their special covenant with Allah. The Christians had it for a while, but in the end, the sons of Ishmael are the rightful, authentic, most beloved owners of Haram HaSharif.
Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom lo nifleti mimcha velo vechoka. בשמיים מלאימו מי יעלה לנו השמיימה ויקחה עלינו ונעשנה ולא מעבר לים היא לאימו מי יבוא לנו אל עבר הים
The Tamar Yona Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yona. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yona Show.
So before that lovely music, which was Deuteronomy chapter 30, the verse 15, first 15 verses, before then we mentioned the latest clash over Jerusalem, precipitated by the Muslims in a compulsive acting out of their belief the Temple Mount is theirs, that Al-Yahud, the Jews, have no right to keep them from building another mosque on. And a second aggression I mentioned four against us in the recent days, has been now even nightly potentially homicidal rocket and projectile attacks fired into Israel by the Muslim barbarians in Gaza, hoping to murder Jews at random in their homes and neighborhoods. On Saturday night, I think it was, a rocket was fired, in addition to lofting balloons transporting an artillery shell, with Israel as ever acting like an old broken record with a scratch in it, repeating old behaviors. Because they are so de-Judaized, they have absolutely no feeling of ownership for the land today known as the Gaza Strip, when they should. If Judea and Samaria are legally and morally territory belonging to the Jewish people, so is the Gaza Strip, which acreage the League of Nations included in the same map a quarter century before there ever was a geography called the Gaza Strip. It seems that, here's a headline from YNetNews.com yesterday, quote, Hamas seems ready for calm, but will Islamic Jihad cooperate? Egypt's diplomacy seems to be paying off, but its rival terror group is not heeding calls for quiet, close quote. This is such an old story. In my research for my Whale of a History book, I discovered the catalyst for some of the most horrific atrocities perpetrated against us to have been rivalry between different PLO cult gangs, with their pseudo-nationalist names like the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine or the Palestine Liberation Front, don't confuse them, Balestine being a name the terrorists can't even pronounce properly, versus the situation in Gaza today where the gangs support Islamic names like Hamas, that's an Islamic virtue, Islamic Jihad, that's a rival, Al-Qaeda, the base, and so on and so forth. There are, as in the heyday of the PLO, Islamic Jihad, which is Hamas's principal rival, known to fire off rockets at Israel in the knowledge Israel will strike back at Hamas, which is Israel's policy. When Islamic Jihad wants to attack Hamas, they get Israel to do it for them. As we've seen over 25 years of the abomination of the catastrophic Oslo peace process, so-called, the Muslim Brotherhood, a.k.a. Hamas, and Fatah in Ramallah, those alleged secular nationalists there, have never been able to unite and create a unified leadership striving for a state. So likewise within the Gaza Strip, there are rivalries today among the different Muslim cult gangs, which is why Israel can never succeed in getting cooperation from the other side for any kind of peaceful relationship. Its rival will always sabotage. It's a fool's errand, the search for cooperation toward a win-win situation in which Israel is granted peace and the other side enjoys a much improved economic situation. The Jews get peace and the ancient Palestinians turn Gaza into Singapore. That was the fantasy of that dunderhead Shimon Peres. Now, I do believe in eventual peace down Gaza way, but that can only come when Israel stakes its claim, which is legal and moral, to all the land of the Gaza Strip and take steps toward evicting the enemy people there who fire rockets into our homes, into our bedrooms, factories, synagogues, who burn our crops. That Israel puts up with this excreta is evidence of a defective national identity in Israel. Israel is also engaged in the futile, age-old belief that by paying off the Muslims one can have peace. This was the story of the Barbary pirates who for 1,000 years plagued the West. They were in truth not pirates, but the official navies of recognized Muslim powers, whose principal industry was hijacking Christian ships and enslaving their passengers and crews until ransomed, and they did so in the name of the jihad. They were not independent freebooting pirates drinking rum. They didn't drink rum. And to handle the problem, the Europeans paid tribute, which never really worked, basically protection money against being captured on the high seas and being enslaved. Yesterday, another courier from Qatar, a truly evil country, was scheduled to arrive in Gaza with suitcases bulging with $100 million in cash. In an attempt to get the powers there to behave themselves, I think it's the second such blatantly corrupt money transfer, in a class with Obama sending the Iranians $150 billion and getting away with it. When 2 nights ago more projectiles came flying out of the strip, the Israeli Air Force did its thing. More destruction of inert objects, hurting no ancient Palestinians, and new moving not an inch closer toward a solution, which would be peace and quiet. Above all, because Israelis are so post-religious and desperate to be loved by the Gentiles, they continue to supply Gaza with food every day and other necessities, including the electricity they use to fashion the weapons of death they fire at us. Has there ever been a people in the history of the human race that responded this way to these basically artillery barrages, with constant support for those who launch them? And as for another of the four aggressions against Israel this past week, in addition to the Muslim aggression at the Gate of Mercy, at the Western Wall, that too came under attack, but not by anti-Jew Muslims, but anti-Jew Jews. More precisely, anti-Jew Jewesses, last Friday, came to insult classical Jewish prayer at the Western Wall, which is a mournful substitute for the hoped-for future Third and Final Temple. Yet another crowd of them came to demand, as they do every month, the right to pray like the Gentiles, in mixed company, male and female, which, thanks to the powerful sex drive, makes praying to the Almighty that much more difficult, long before Sigmund Freud and battalions of brilliant Jewish psychiatrists, psychoanalysts, and psychologists. There were sages of the Mishnah and the Talmud who, thanks to the five books of Moses, knew a thing or two about human psychology. So on Friday, there was much pushing and shoving in the plaza in front of the wall between two groups. One, this crowd of ignorant, neurotic feminists who do not live Jewish lives, wearing male prayer shawls and acting out the transvestism so typical of contemporary degenerate society. These are the same types who think Bruce Jenner is now a woman, even though Bruce does not have a womb. The other crowd was Haredi schoolgirls recruited to counter-protest these representatives of a group of Jews, the Reform Jews, who, in addition to this transvestism, hire, if you can believe it, sodomites and lesbians to be their rabbis? Now, everyone is free to believe what they want about sodomy. But no one has the right to say it is Jewish to tolerate this behavior and claim the Torah Sinai is now out of date, as these reformers do. One of the most annoying facets of Reform Jews is their refusal to face reality. The demographics of non-Orthodox Jews like them are no secret. Yet there last week was their Moses, Rabbi Rick, head of the Reform movement, saying, quote, intermarriage is not a disease, which I thought was an excellent choice of words by him, for that is exactly what it is. It's a fatal disease to the body politic of the Jewish nation, as fatal as the great influenza epidemic of 1919 or the bubonic plague of the 14th century. In this last generation in America, a third of the conservative synagogues, who are like the Reform in America, shut their doors when they used to be the largest community. And for sure, it is happening among the Reform temples as well, though they're silent about this. In their more sober moments, the Reformers will say, yes, we would prefer not to have intermarriage, but the solution to that problem is, they say, more Jewish education. And it's precisely Jewish education, as the Reform understand it, that drives their children away, that results in their children having absolutely no interest in perpetuating with the experience of what they are told is Jewishness when it's not. So there in the Israeli MSM on the weekend were pictures of these neurotic women on Friday holding the Torah high as an object of veneration, of adoration, and never mind they pay no attention to its contents. Whose first commandment to the Jewish nation in the Ten Commandments is honor the Sabbath, which Reformed Jews never do.
בואו נפזר את מסך הערפל, בואו נעמוד באור ולא בצל. עד מתי נמשיך לברוח אל משחקים של כוח? מותר לך לבכות קצת לפעמים כשמשהו קורא לך בפנים. ספר לי קצת על רגעי הפחד, קל הרבה יותר לפחד ביחד. וכשרוחות קרות תסערו בחוץ, תזעק אליו בתפילה. יום אחד אולי תפסיק לרוץ בין הצללים. וכשרוחות קרות תסערו בחוץ, תזעק אליו בתפילה. יום אחד אולי תפסיק לרוץ בין הצללים בנשמה. תמשיך לברוח אל משחקים של כוח, מותר לך לבכות קצת לפעמים כשמשהו.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American Time, 7 a.m. Israeli Time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
So, having surveyed three current aggressions against Israel, the attack at the Gate of Mercy, and what's going on in Gaza, and at the Western Wall, a fourth front was on display in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., of all places. Never saw such display of despicable anti-Jew behavior in that august chamber. A few weeks back, the House was able to rebuke Representative Stephen King for seeming to justify the concept of white supremacy, but last week they were unable to respond in a similar fashion to the latest exhibition of classical Jew hatred by that Muslim jihadi woman, accusing Jews of disloyalty when her behavior is disloyalty to American culture, which is unique in the world for its friendliness to the little state reborn of the Jews, which is so typical of anti-Jewitis, a mental disorder, accuse the Jews, as she did, of one's own evil. She's the one in the hijab, loyal to Muslims, over Americans. And this unique attitude towards Jews that Americans have. When the House voted on a resolution, it acted in perfect concert with what scholar Bat-Yaur called dimitude, bowing down to the demands of Islam. And not surprisingly, what the House Democrats did was exactly what goes on every January 27 on the UN-invented Holocaust Remembrance Day. And likewise, that too has become a farce, even an anti-Semitic farce. On that day, governments and foreign ministries issue statements that, in a flash, reference anti-Semitism and the Holocaust and then proceed to attach a laundry list of bigotries, of prejudice. The Goyim World Anti-Jewry has proven itself incapable of focusing exclusively on the hatred of the Jews. To do that resonates, I guess, with calling us the chosen people. They don't want to do that. These statements perfunctorily mention anti-Semitism and the Holocaust, then proceed to condemn all kinds of bigotry and hatred and prejudice, racism and sexism, heightism, and of course, homophobia, and of course, Islamophobia, which is a stupid term invented by the covetous Muslims who envy the Jews everything we have, including, as strange as it may sound, anti-Semitism, because it bestows moral power on Jews to beat people over the head with it and get their way. So the Muslims invented Islamophobia, which is a complete imitation and completely wrong. It's not a phobia. A phobia is an irrational fear. To fear Islam, given the daily scorecard around the world of their endless and barbaric violence among themselves, let alone against non-Muslims, there's nothing wrong with fearing Islam. So the Democrats passed a resolution condemning all kinds of hatred rather than the medieval Jew hatred of this hateful, Islamically hateful, backward Muslim woman, Ilhan Omar. All kinds of hatred was the subject, which is exactly what happens every UN-established Holocaust Remembrance Day. My fear of the new phenomenon of Jew-hating Muslims inside the U.S. Congress is that the focus will fall on them as individuals when the real problem is Islam itself. In a way, I think it's wrong to focus excessively on Ilhan Omar because she is who she is. She is who she was raised to be. Yes, she is an anti-Jew, but in a category very different from a Jeremy Corbyn or a David Irving. In Western culture, those two are experienced as kooks, not quite playing with a full deck, outliers. But she could not be more normal in Somalia and in scores of Muslim states. People are reacting to her as if she should know better than to talk this way about the Holocaust. But in her society, many people believe there was no Holocaust, like Mahmoud Abbas, that the Jews just made it up. This is a lie they made up to get the world to feel guilty and let them steal Palestine from the Palestinians. So yours truly is not happy with treating these two Muslim women in Congress as if they are as beyond the pale as other anti-Semites in the West, when in their culture they're not beyond the pale. Myself, as a student of religions in my college days, I read and enjoyed the basic texts of numerous religions. As Yiddishkeit, Jewishness teaches, there is wisdom among the Gentiles. They don't have Torah, but they have wisdom, and many of their scriptures have things to say. The Hindu Upanishads and the Mahabharata, Buddhism in its various schools, Sikhism, Jainism, Shinto in Japan, and it is just great that the West, if not the East, allows these communities to live inside them in peace. But the truth of Islam is a truth today that many, even on the right, cannot face. It's the one religion that should be outlawed in all liberal democracies. In post-war Germany and other European states, after the war, Nazism was outlawed. When the Soviet Union collapsed, the Communist Party was outlawed in Russia. And I think Islam likewise must be outlawed in the United States and really all of the liberal democracies. That is the lesson we should learn from these two women in the U.S. Winston Churchill, of blessed memory, a serious Gentile Zionist, judged Islam the most retrograde of cultures. And it is no coincidence that one of the first things Louis Farrakhan's soulmate Obama did when he entered the Oval Office was remove the bust of Churchill and, of course, made his first phone call as President of the United States to the Holocaust-denying Muslim, Jew-killing terrorist Mahmoud Abbas, whom the stupidest Jewish leaders in history, Rabin and Peres, thought they could tame, could turn into their friend, who wanted peace as much as they did and cared as much for the welfare of their ancient Palestinian countrymen as they did about the welfare of Israelis, when in reality, that slimeball Arafat cared nothing for anything except Jew bashing. Arafat's father implanted the Muslim Brotherhood in Mandatory Palestine, and Arafat grew up in the Brotherhood youth group and didn't start calling himself a Palestinian until he was in his 30s. And so the other seven founders with him of Fatah in 1959. Beneath the bull droppings of Palestinian nationalism, they were all Muslim brothers who, as Muslims, were incapable of tolerating freedom for the Jews that Islam had oppressed and humiliated for 14 centuries, which is Quranically rooted in Sharia law. And that is the way of life that was disgustingly on display in the House of Representatives last week, where that normal Muslim woman was able to get the House to dimify itself, to coin a word, like Obama. Ilhan Omar wants to make Islam a normal part of the American scene, towards its ultimate defeat and transformation into a part of the world caliphate of believers in the one true faith, a.k.a. the correct religion. I once had a conversation on a beach in western Egypt with a military doctor who preached that to me. He said, quote, "Islam is the correct religion," which not coincidentally uses the same word as in the expression politically correct, which came out of the evil empire of the Soviet Union. When the commies in north of Vietnam overran the south, they sent thousands to re-education camps to teach them that communism is the correct political ideology. In the same way, the Soviet Union itself, its school children were taught that their system was scientific socialism, like communism, like fascism, which is a form of socialism, like dictatorial pharaonic Egypt that came to hate the children of Israel. Islam is a totalitarian mindset fueled by a deep hatred of Jews. Ilhan Omar is no ordinary Western-style Jew-hating nutcase. Her entire religious community is home to more than a billion nutcases when it comes to Jews. Okay, that's it for today. And if you appreciate this podcast, one way to say thanks is buying my Phantom Nation, which some have said must be read by every Jewish university student in the English-speaking countries. That will immunize him and her from the poison of Palestinian nationalism in our time that took the place of the anti-Semitism, that took the place of the deicide charge. The book's available online at geffenpublishing.com, also on amazon.com in hardcover or a Kindle ebook. This week's music was the handiwork of Hillel and Aviel. The music is the same each week, Hillel Frank and Carmina Orr, and as always we conclude with Yosef Karduner. Until next time, I'm Shai Batakoa. וקרבת אותי לצדיקים האמיתיים שבדורנו. מודה אני לפניך, מלך חי וקיים, מודה על נפלאותיך, שאתה בורא עולם. שגמלת עם אביון, מודה אני על ניסיך, בכל יום שעה ושעה שקבעת בי אמונתך, להיות בכלל מאמיניך שנתת לי חברים טובים מיושבי בית מדרשך. טננניי, טננניי, טננניי.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.